Hey, welcome back to Paranormal Foundry, the place where we discuss everything hauntings, extraterrestrial, and otherwise abnormal. I am one of your hosts, Al Taylor, here with Chris Freeman, the guy who actually knows what he's talking about. What are we talking about today?
All right. I'm not going to correct you this time. Anyways.
No, I'm saying it every time. You know exactly what you're talking about. You are an expert.
I wish. Anyways, this time we're going to talk about something more famous, something more known.
Okay.
In fact, it has three movies and I think a fourth in the works.
Chucky.
Actually, Chucky has seven movies.
Oh, you know what? I forget about all those other things, like
including the remake too.
Yeah, which is actually, I like the remake. I like that Child's Play remake.
Cybernetic doll creeps me out. All dolls creep me out. But you are close. Yeah. We are talking about a doll.
Oh, Annabelle.
Correct.
All right.
We are talking about Annabelle. Now, the difference between the very first Annabelle movie and the original story is very big. Okay. Why I say that is the movie actually apparently takes place before the true story. In fact,
The Annabelle movie, the very first Annabelle movie, because yes. Annabelle was featured in
The Conjuring. So Annabelle in itself, the movie, takes place maybe a few months before the actual start of this real story.
Okay.
In fact, I brought up on this other laptop that we have the images between the Annabelle doll in the movie,
okay,
and the real Annabelle.
I'm glad you have pictures of both because
here we go.
I think it's important for me to admit this. I've never seen any of the Conjuring.
I believe that. So the one on the left is considered the real Annabelle. This is what the real Annabelle would be. It's just
a Raggedy Ann doll.
Correct.
Oh.
So the thing is, we'll get back to that,
but okay.
I want you to see, the original Annabelle is a Raggedy Ann doll. The movie Annabelle, fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I don't like dolls.
That's
both of these trigger me.
Yeah, it's more dolls. Like a
Victorian doll.
A puppet doll. It looks
a
like
marionette.
Yeah.
That's the word you're looking for.
Exactly.
It's a marionette.
Oh, is that what it is?
No. The term marionette is like the puppets that have strings and move and all that. Anyways, so the story is actually from a book called The Demonologist, which is written about a couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren. They are the most famous demonologists in the world. They're the ones who did The Conjuring House, Amityville Horror.
Yeah, okay.
Annabelle, all that. Anything you hear like, oh my God, that's that horror movie based on a true story. Well, they were probably involved.
Mm.
They have a book called The Demonologist. They have like 20 books, actually. Okay. And all these movies are all in one book, though.
The Conjuring is actually
written into a book called The Demonologist.
Oh, okay.
So
that's like a section of the book.
It's like chapters.
Conjuring? Oh, okay.
It's like chapter one, Conjuring, chapter two,
I see.
Annabelle, chapter three, Annabelle, chapter four, this, chapter five, that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's
okay.
So actually, Ed and Lorraine used to actually have the Annabelle doll in their house after they did the story.
Okay. And what is the story exact simplified? Like,
well,
because I don't know.
When we say simplified, I mean, we got about three paragraphs that I've written.
Well, forget simplified then. Just right. Let me know what happened.
So, Ed and Lorraine Warren, they get a phone call. And the phone call is from a friend of theirs. It's a pastor who goes, hey, I got this person calling me that think they're haunted.
Okay.
And so, Ed and Lorraine Warren head to this person's house. They meet this girl, and her name is Donna Jennings. That's it. My bad. Donna Jennings. And inside this room is also her roommate Lou Carlo and his fiance Angie. God, I can't even read my own handwriting. Looks like Stapleton. So Donna's talking to Ed and Lorraine about the doll. She goes, well, the doll was a gift from her mother for her birthday.
Okay.
I mean, this is a 20-something-year-old woman. She was given this gift as a birthday present from her mother as a, hey, do you remember your childhood? You used to have one of these kind of gifts. Nostalgia feeling. Well, Ed walks over to the doll and checks the doll. Again, this Annabelle doll, and he tries to move it. He says that it feels like the weight of a 4-year-old. Like, it's like 30 pounds of how heavy it feels. Again, a doll feels 30 pounds.
Wow.
That's weird in itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they start talking, and they sit in the kitchen talking.
It's got a block of gold in it.
Exactly. So, one of the things they said is, like, when they got the doll, one of the first things they started noticing is it would move itself a little bit. So, they started trying to watch it.
Oh, so it was the animatronics built into the doll.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Okay. Yep, yep. Animatronics in the 80s. Yep. Anyways. So what they notice is that sometimes when they left for work, because they were all nursing students, basically, they would notice that they come back, the arms would be spread out, or the arms would be crossed. Same thing with the legs.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, they all left at the same time. And they started realizing, these are moving, but we didn't move them. So they started crossing the arms, and they'd come back, and the arms are spread out.
Like, in front of them, or you mean when they come back to the house? Like they go to work and come back,
okay. And next thing you know, its arms are spaced out.
Yeah.
Or if they left the arms spaced out and they come back, the arms are crossed.
Hmm.
And this goes on and on. They're, like, starting to get confused. Well, then they start noticing the doll's in different rooms some days that they come back.
Hmm.
Like, it may be on Donna's bed one day. And then when they come back that night, it's in the living room.
Hmm.
The doll's physically moving itself. Well, after this goes on, a couple days later, they come back and they find 3 drops of blood on one of the arms.
Okay, that's creepy.
That is creepy. Right. I hate dolls so much, but now we're adding in blood randomly appearing on it. Did it kill a bug? Did it kill a mouse? We never know.
Need to test that blood.
Right? Well, after a while, it starts leaving notes that appear out of nowhere in children's handwriting.
Mm.
In fact, some of the notes say, help us or help Lou. Nothing's bad going on. Lou's okay. He's fine. But there's notes that literally appear that say, help us or help Lou on parchment paper. They don't have parchment. This isn't just appearing.
Wow.
And they save these notes and they show it Ed and Lorraine. They're like, we had no idea what this is about.
Hmm.
So from there, they found it one time kneeling in a chair, yet couldn't, like, move it. It was just kneeling in that chair. Like, it's on its knees, sitting in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
They don't remember putting it in the chair.
Yeah.
So they start marking the doors and windows, see if people are sneaking in. They're like, there has to be someone messing with us. It might be one of our friends.
That is what I would think.
Right? So they start marking all the doors. Well, the thing is, nothing gets moved. The only thing moving is this doll.
Hmm.
Now, we know Christmas was a couple weeks ago. For Christmas, so you know those chocolate boots that you used to see?
No,
they're,
I don't.
All right.
I've never seen a chocolate boot before.
Actually, we'll look.
I never come across one.
So what it was is that it was a piece of chocolate shaped into a shoe, basically.
And it's like the size of a...
I typed in boat, not of boot. A shoe? Yeah, a little less. It's literally like something you would put into a little stuffing, like stocking.
Yeah, but I don't really get scale from that. Picture.
No.
What? I mean, what size is it? Like a piece of chocolate you put in your mouth?
Some of them are like about this big. Some of them are a little bigger. I mean, they're really not that big to where you go, oh man, someone could put their foot in that.
Oh, okay.
Which is even weirder in itself. Okay. But I mean,
so basically a doll size.
Yeah. But it appeared out of nowhere. None of them knew where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought in a medium. So someone who's able to speak to spirits and all that. All
right.
And they brought her in after 6 weeks of this going on. And the medium starts going through and starts apparently talking to a ghost of a young girl, which they call Annabelle. Apparently this little girl used to play in this lot years ago when it was a field and apparently died around there. And she just wanted people to recognize she was there and talk to her. And apparently she possessed the doll and wanted to be brought into the family, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems weird to me, too.
What? How they getting all this?
The medium. The person who's there that they brought in.
Right.
Apparently she taught.
That's what she came up with.
That's what she told them. That is correct.
Okay.
So.
I mean, it just seemed like she could have said anything.
Exactly. If it was a demon, it's like, it's going to lie to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying the medium.
The medium, too.
The medium could have said anything. I mean, how you going to prove her wrong?
Exactly. And at this point in time, the stuff you see is like little children messing around with you stuff anyway. So you would kind of agree with her. It's like, this is what a child would do. They would kind of just play and mess with you and randomly bring you chocolate.
Okay.
I mean, so they're like, they accept the doll at this answer. They accept that the doll's name is Annabelle, which is where the name Annabelle came from. They accept that. And they were just like, all right, cool. It's Annabelle. She's just playing with us because she wants a home. Well, as they're sitting there talking to Ed and Lorraine, a statue around them moves. Like an actual little statue about this big apparently starts levitating off this pedestal it's on.
Like a foot tall statue.
A foot tall statue.
Yeah.
Goes up maybe 6 inches to a foot, then it slams down. While they're all sitting there talking.
Does it break? Was it made of?
It just says statue.
Okay.
But then they sit there and say that it moved across the room as well. So we're talking about where you have those coming over to us. I mean, that'd freak me out.
Yeah.
Then again, more dolls flying at me. Seriously, I hate dolls. Anyways, so what happens is, as they're sitting there talking, they're asking, hey, has any physical violence happened? Has certain things happened to one of you that hasn't happened to someone else?
The medium is asking that.
No, this is Ed and Lorraine. The medium's gone now.
Okay. This
is just them. Just more stuff happened afterwards, and they're just like, we don't know what's going on anymore. We thought accepting her would calm it down. More stuff happens. So, my bad. That was me hitting the mic. All right. So, they're talking, and next thing you know, they go, hey, did any violence ever happen to you? Have any of you had bad dreams? Have any of you felt threatened? At this point in time, Lou speaks up about how he just wants the doll gone. He wants it destroyed. He wants it forever out of his range. Reason being, apparently Lou has been having nightmares, and he claims that he was physically attacked.
Okay.
So the nightmares, inside these nightmares, he's had multiple of the same nightmare.
Wait, let me catch up. You lost me for a second. Who is Lou
exactly? He is one of the roommates and fiance. He's the fiance to one of the girls.
And the doll was saying, help Lou.
And help one him. One time
before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, okay. I was thinking they didn't know a Lou.
No. Lou was one of the guys that lived there. There's three people that live there. Two girls, the guy.
Okay.
So, what's happening is, he starts saying that he had these nightmares where in these nightmares, he's laying in bed and this doll is climbing up his body. Mm-hmm. Gets up, pins his neck down and starts choking him out. In fact, these nightmares happen so much that while he's having them, he's trying to scream and nothing's coming out of his mouth. Like he's making no sound. What he says it feels like is that a couple grown men are slamming him onto a wall and pinning him down.
But he sees the doll.
The doll.
In his
He sees dream, a doll.
Nightmare, whatever. Okay.
He sees this Raggedy Ann doll choking him down.
With his nice plushy
smile on his face.
Yeah, nice plushy mittened hands.
But that's what he's seeing in his dream. In fact, he has a day where he is alone in the house, and he hears the doll slam in another room. And when he went to go check it, he felt something standing behind him. Mm. And when he turns around, he gets cut on his chest. This isn't a dream. This has apparently happened to him in real life.
Okay.
He apparently gets 3 cuts vertically and then 4 cuts horizontally on his chest. And it, they cross each other. Well, I mean, he apparently they're medical, they're nurses. But these cuts are so razor thin that you couldn't think of how they were made. Even more so, it was after a couple days, the cuts were gone.
He just healed.
That's the thing. Is after a couple days, these cuts are gone. That he was healed.
No scar.
No scarring. But the fact is, he has the shirt.
And other people saw it, or just
him? It was just him alone.
Okay.
But he has the shirt that has the blood on it.
Huh.
And he showed them, and they saw, like, the 2 girls that live with him saw the cuts on his chest, too.
So that's how he found out he was a mutant.
Right. Who doesn't want the power to heal fast? So, Lewis, and they're talking to his fiance. They're like, hey, what if we just move? What if we just go?
And leave the doll.
Leave the doll. Well, Ed and Lorraine are sitting there talking to him going, well, if it's a demon, it doesn't matter. It's going to follow you. It is now attached to you. Mm. It is one of his things that is trying to possess an actual body more than just a doll. And their thinking is it's trying to possess Lou. With them singling out Lou the whole time, it wants to possess him. So they sit there and said, hey, we have an idea. What we'll do is we'll bless the whole house for you, but we'll also take the doll from you.
Mm-hmm.
That way the doll can't get back in the house and it's in a different location.
Okay.
And that's how they get the possession of the doll.
Yeah.
So.
I know it's probably going to come up, but why Lou? You don't know.
No. Nothing actually says why just Lou. It wanted a body, and for some reason, he was the target.
Because he had the weakest psyche or something.
I don't know. So, as Ed and Lorraine are driving back, first thing that happened is their brakes start failing randomly.
Mm.
Their lights start randomly messing up. They both almost pass out while they're driving home and end up in the other lane and barely missing a truck while they're transporting this doll back to their house.
Hmm.
I mean, that's just weird in itself, because new car brakes failing is a very bad sign.
Yeah.
Your light's messing up. A bad sign. So, as they get this doll in the house, Ed kind of keeps it in his office so he can stare at it while he writes all his paperwork. Because he's like, well, if it's going to do something weird, I want to watch it happen.
Okay.
Well, the cats in their self will not go in that office anymore. In fact, they don't go upstairs at it anymore. Apparently, their cats won't go upstairs where Ed's office is.
Which cats are known to be, like, highly sensitive to...
Animals are, in general.
Paranormal events.
The idea is animals all are kind of sensitive more to stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hence why you'll randomly see a dog, well, what was that?
Mm.
Or a cat just stare out and all. And then again, even cats are weird.
You didn't notice a thing.
Yeah.
But they, yeah.
But, I mean, like, his cats won't go up there. In fact, they have a story of an electrician who went upstairs for, like, 10 seconds by himself, came back downstairs and says, I'm good. No, I'm good. You can hire somebody else. And he leaves.
Mm.
But he was up there in that office alone, and no one knows what happened. He just walked up, come back down, I'm out.
Hmm.
Can you imagine a guy who's being paid, like, $30 an hour, turning around going, I'm good, I can't do the work. Nope.
No, I cannot.
Exactly.
I cannot. Because I can't imagine making $30 an hour.
Oh man, it's sad that we can't. Anyways, beyond the point. So they start bringing, like, they bring friends over to check out the doll. They're priests, they're fathers, right? So one of them was sitting there insulting the doll. He's like, man, this is really dumb. This is stupid. It doesn't, whatever. This, well, Lorraine goes, well, hey, be careful on your way home because something may happen. Well, as he's driving home, his brakes almost fell too, as he almost drove into an 18-wheeler.
Hmm.
This is after he insulted the doll. And then he called, when he got home.
So you're going to blame his bad driving on paranormal activity just because he happened to say something to the doll?
He talked shit to the doll. The doll's like, you're going to get hit now. Anyways.
So, wait a minute. Because the way you worded it, you said he almost ran into an 18-wheeler. Or like, did the 18-wheeler almost run into him?
Like, apparently.
There's a difference there. There's
apparently, the 18-wheeler runs a red light.
Okay.
And he different. When he goes to hit his brakes, they don't work, so he had to swerve off.
Wait a minute. Where were all these details at? What if I hadn't asked that?
That's fair. That's fair. But I did say his brakes didn't work. Okay. The 18-wheeler was there.
Okay.
All right. But, I mean, inside Ed and Lorraine's office, where they have all these paranormal objects, this doll has been known to teleport around, too. Like, it changes rooms where it's want, because it wants to be around other people. So if you leave, but it's the office was the last thing you were in, it'll come in the office. If you're in the living room and you leave, it'll be in the living room waiting for you to get back. It's like the judgmental parent. Just sitting there waiting for you to come back home, just staring at you. I'd be more... I hate dolls. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, I think we got that.
But I mean, like, as they're having this Raggedy Ann doll at their house, a random black cat appears. They don't own a black cat. They own a calico and a white cat, apparently. A black cat appears around the doll and just hangs out around the doll.
Okay.
Which apparently, like, black animals, like black cats, black dogs and all that, are more symbols of a demonic presence. For some
what?
Yeah, I know, right?
I take offense to that, but okay. I don't know what. Why is that?
I don't know. That's just what they say. I don't know. It's like a...
You know, Salem was really good at heart.
He was a witch. Who tried to plot the overtaking of the witch world. Hence why he got turned to a cat.
Yeah.
I'm more sad I know that answer.
That's just regular ambition, though. That's
it is like, ambition. You know they make him look like Castro in, like, one scene?
No.
Yeah, they
one,
do.
One scene of what?
Like, before he got turned into a cat, they have him physically looking like Castro, almost.
Wait, in what?
The Sabrina Teenage Witch movie. Or show.
Oh, in the show. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anyways. apparently, priests have been known to walk towards this doll and hear growling noises.
Hmm.
That's creepy to me. I don't know about you, but if you're coming up to a doll and you hear growling, you're going to walk away.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, like, it's just some weird things that's centered around a single Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
And that's all that was written down about this thing in their book. So I looked around and all I could really find is the movie stuff.
Yeah.
Which the movies are completely different because it's an actual girl from a burnt down house or something haunting them and taking possession of a doll trying to murder them.
Yeah, but they don't have any information on the actual
thing. No, it's like they took the book story, the book written down, and turned it into a way for a movie. That's all it was.
Yeah, sure, which is expected, but in the book, they don't have, like, they never tracked it down to an actual girl or anything.
No, that was just the spiritualist saying that. We got someone backing out front right now. Sorry, we had, like, a truck across the street just reversing, and he's hearing it like, what is that noise?
I wasn't sure if I was hearing it correctly or not.
So what questions do you have right now?
I don't know. I feel like I've been asking along the way.
Yeah.
So so that nothing ever came out of it. They hadn't figured out was going on. Does the doll still exist?
The doll still exist.
And where is it?
It is in a private collection of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed actually passed away, and Lorraine actually shut down their museum, unfortunately, which is where the doll is.
Okay.
So it's sealed up in a house right now. Seriously?
Y'all pick all the times. All right.
Random motorcycle. Anyways, all right. So the doll is basically essentially sealed in a house right now.
All right.
With no interactions with anybody else, which means, well, it's in a room full of a bunch of other paranormal items. Who knows what that can mean for us?
Yeah.
The entertainment. Anyway, sorry. So that's where that is. Did anything ever come out? Well, what if the black cat was something that was coming out the doll? The random shadow figure black cat just randomly appearing.
Okay, that's, yeah, but did the doll stop doing stuff?
No, the doll kept doing stuff up till they stopped looking at it.
Okay.
Like, until there was no one else around it, the doll still teleported around. In fact, they put it in a sealed box to stop it from teleporting around, apparently.
Hmm.
And still it gets out, because there's always one idiot who unlocks it and opens it.
Oh.
And then they have to go around finding it and then put it right back.
Huh.
Literally, who would unlock the box of, do not unlock. Okay. It's the same person who goes and opens the mummy coffin.
I mean, did they try to, like, put the... Did they try to surveil it? I know the guy, like, tried to sit and look at it, okay, but...
So, this is around, like, the 70s and 80s time being. So, we have technology that could record it, but it also is not something you can sit there and watch 24/7 multiple people without pulling out the tapes and putting in a new tape and going back and watching it from there.
Tapes?
70s and 80s, man.
Oh, no, I'm talking about now. Like, why you can't do that? Like,
well, I honestly cannot answer that question, to be honest with you.
Like, even, you know, 20 years ago now.
Really?
God.
Look at the bank cameras. We have better cameras on our phone than the bank cameras.
Sure.
Guy robs a bank. We can't tell what he's looked like, but you take a picture from 20 miles away.
You can buy a decent webcam, like,
I know, right?
$20 now.
720p.
Yeah.
The bank cameras look like they're 5p. Anyways, but I mean, like, let's start by the start. You look, when I told you about when he got cut across the chest, you made a face. What was your thoughts then?
Well, I was thinking whether it was in real life or if it was just like in the dream. And then you told me that it
apparently
was.
Was real.
It was real.
So what?
And he didn't. And so, then it just disappeared later.
So what they claim is during like demonic attacks, you may have like a razor blade cut on you that heals quick.
I've never heard of this.
This is from me listening to all these people who do like paranormal stuff. That's what they're saying, is like randomly you may have like a cut on you, like while you're sleeping or something, but it heals within a day or two and no one will believe you because, well, where's the cut?
Like Freddy Krueger.
Like rules. Freddy Krueger, yeah. Like,
okay.
I mean, like, there's things like that. Is there razor blade like cat cuts? You've been scratched by the cats.
But sure.
But they don't heal within like a week.
Yeah. Yeah, and it leaves a scar,
of
course.
It leaves a mark or something to show people going, yeah, can you believe they did that?
Yeah.
Let's see. But I mean, like, the idea is that this doll is possessed by a demon. The reason why it chose something like a child's thing is because apparently an average thing is the demons will try to act like children to let you have your guard down. Or they'll lie to you and all that to trick you to allow them to be closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the study of it, is like they'll pretend to be beings of light, children, stuff like that, to let you have your guard down.
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw a being of light tell you, hey, I'm friendly. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You kind of weird it out, but it's still...
But it's strange because, like, psychologically, a child being evil or demonic is, like, scarier.
Oh, yeah.
If it was...
It's the laugh. A child laughter chasing child you laughter in a hallway like would horrify you more than some weird creepy dude. No. Yeah. Child laughter in the background. Mm-mm, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now I'm picturing Chucky with a child's laugh. Oof. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that. It's like the... Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play? It's just...
Burn the house. Let's move.
Yeah, but that's interesting to know that that all comes from something that may have actually happened. There is a story behind it.
These people, like, they weren't really going around for money doing this.
Yeah.
They're not offering, hey, you pay us this much money and we'll come figure out your answer. They're really going, hey, something weird happened. Can we see?
Yeah. Kind of
like what we're doing right now, where I'm going around doing all this and we're talking about it. But they're literally traveling the country doing this. And the only reason they're making money from this is because they're writing it down and talking to people about it and explaining it and how they figured that answer out.
Yeah.
Like, they've actually done conventions where they explained everything they've done.
Yeah. What was Annabelle there first?
No, I think Amityville was the first thing they were considered the most famous for.
Well, yeah, because that's definitely the most famous story you hear.
Right? And it's... I mean, the Poltergeist House was another one of that they did.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a resume that would make, you know, people sit there and go, well... They might know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know Poltergeist was them.
Was based on a real story. In fact, that movie in itself is horrifying on many levels.
Oh yeah.
Because you know the scene where they fall in into the water and there's a bunch of skeletons around, like skulls and all that.
Yeah.
Those are real skulls. Those are actual people's skulls.
Hmm.
They put those there. Because it was cheaper to do that than just produce fake ones.
Where they obtained the skulls.
We don't ask questions, I guess? Alright, anyways, back to Annabelle.
Yeah.
It's just the idea of this doll chasing people around. Going room to room. Randomly having blood on it. I mean, I've already been out because it's a doll. But... If you came home and found one of those in the hallway with blood on it, what your first thought would be?
Get that the hell out of here.
Exactly. It's not, burn it. That's weird.
Burn it with fire.
That's weird. No, it's... Peace.
Yeah.
Like, I hate dolls so much. I'm sorry, I'm going to say that a lot today.
Yeah.
I don't know why I chose to do this story, but originally this was supposed to be for Christmas because it has that weird moment where chocolate appears for Christmas. And I thought, hey.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, one of the things that I said is that these car's brakes failed a couple times when the doll was around or the doll got insulted, which is a weird coincidence in itself. I mean, how often do your brakes fail?
I mean, back then, I don't know.
Exactly.
Probably a little more than now, but not like that.
I don't know. With the way people drive.
I assume they went and got it checked out.
Yeah, they found no issues.
Yeah.
Like, there was no issues with the brakes. There was no issue with the lines. There was no issue with anything. It's just the brakes failed.
Yeah, I guess. It must be real.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I'm more interested about what's happening now. If this presence is still trapped in that doll, and that doll is locked in a room where no one can see it,
not being surveilled for some reason.
No one knows what's going on, what's going through that presence thoughts. What is it doing? Is it hatching some giant plan?
Yeah.
Is it angry? Or is it going, I'm going to mess with the first person that comes to see me?
Yeah. You know, that'd be... I'm just thinking about this now, talking about surveillance on it. Like, that would be a super popular Twitch channel.
It would.
People would watch that for hours.
You know what one of my favorite Twitch channels is?
No, what is it?
It's a little dog daycare center. And it has all the dogs out in the open for playing around. And you could just sit there and watch it. Sure. And I'm just like, oh, that's adorable. Yeah. But you're telling me, hey, there's a chance this ghost thing may move. Okay, let's see. Yeah. Oh, it's a doll. I don't...
Oh, but I'm quite sure it would be people into that.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I think I'm going to go get a Raggedy Ann doll.
The Annabelle doll. Unfortunately, everyone knows where it's at, who knows about the story and all that.
Yeah. You could look it up and verify really quickly that is not the actual one.
All right. So... the idea is that, yes, a demon is possessing the doll. It was tricking them to take over a body. And the idea is, when it's a demonic presence, it tries to confuse everybody and put them against each other so it builds more negative energy. And that's what gives it more power.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like me and you sitting here. I heard that motorcycle go by, and I told you, and you'd look at me going, what motorcycle?
Yeah.
It would be something like that. But we have audio proving a motorcycle went by.
Yeah.
It'd be something like that. It'd be the cat's outside meowing. Hey, you say you hear him. I'm looking at you like you're crazy. Because the cats are asleep over there.
Mm.
Stuff like that. You remember how you did the one podcast with your friend where he's like, hey, I heard a voice in the other room that sounds like my grandmother, but she's in the kitchen. It's when you did the one with Amanda and...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Where he's like, my grandmother's house, there's voice in the back, but she's up front.
Right.
And they're yelling at me, never go to where the voice is calling me.
Right.
It's that. Because what's being said is that the grandmother doesn't hear that voice, but she's telling him, don't go to it.
Yeah. Hmm.
The idea is it's building opposing thoughts against each other is what builds the energy. It allows them to do more stuff.
Yeah. And that's... kinetic energy?
But kinetic potential energy and all that?
Yeah.
The more kinetic energy that's built from just, hey, you suck.
Yeah.
Gives it more power for potential for later.
Okay. Which is why when the guy is insulting it...
it builds up that energy to
be able to do something.
Why he's driving away, why it's still in the house, he's gone, and it still hits him.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is, if you come across a demonic anything, really, just don't agitate it. Don't deliberately try to invoke it.
Also, for that one person out there, don't flirt with it, too. That's awkward.
Well, that's different.
So, we're looking at the time right now, and literally, unless you have anything else you want to talk to it about.
No. I'm good.
I wish I had more info or more stuff to talk about with the actual demonic stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to say crap, and I stopped myself for some reason. Anyways.
Real PG-13.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I dropped the F-bomb earlier.
Yeah.
Anyways. We're going to go ahead and here, like normal. If you have any stories you want us to share, like, you don't have to put your name on there. We won't say that out, so anybody who listens with you will know it's you. But the email is paranormalfoundry@gmail.com. And if you want us to share it, we will share it.
Yeah.
We're on Google, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple, kind of. Sorry, I'm trying to work on Apple right now.
We're on Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Just look for it. If it ain't there,
you know. I know we're on four other podcast services. Go share us.
Plenty of ways to listen. Yeah. Plenty of ways to keep up with us, too.
And on Anchor, there is a way to leave us a voice message, which we can actually put on here as well. Now, I will leave a preview for next week.
All right.
And I know what you're going to say, and this is what's going to be great. You ready?
Sure.
We're going to be talking about American history. We're going to talk about the only time in United States history where a ghost testimony was used to prove its killer.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
The only time. In fact, it even knew and told exactly where it was killed and how it was killed.
Okay. Next time, the ghost snitch. Right. All
right. And from us, y'all have a good day.
All right. Peace.